Book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, the Book of Psalms and Psalm 1. The Book of Psalms consists of 150 songs that were sung by the Hebrew people. We don't know the melodies to those songs, but we do know the words because they're recorded here in the Book of Psalms, these 150 songs that were sung. Psalm 1 is a very familiar one. We'll read all six verses and then just focus on one verse here this morning. Psalm 1, follow along in your Bible if you would as I read aloud, beginning in verse number 1. These very familiar words, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We're going to focus on verse number 3 this morning. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, now we thank you for this morning service, that which our ears have heard, our eyes have seen and witnessed, our mouths have spoken. Father, we pray now that you'd feed us by the precious preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and lifted up and our eyes would be brought and drawn to him. I pray, Father, you give me clarity of speech, clearness of thought. Father, please help me to communicate to these thy people that which you have laid upon my heart and burdened my heart about, a wonderful and precious and great truth that we're about to look at this morning. I feel inadequate and unable to, Father, properly give forth your word. But, Father, you have commanded that it be done, and so we ask you this morning by the power of your Spirit to take that which is said and apply it to each and every heart. Be with each of our dear folk here this morning and those that are listening in. We pray, Father, that you take something that's said to encourage, challenge, or convict us according to our need. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What kind of tree are you? It said in verse number 3, "And he shall be like a tree." The Bible uses the tree as an example of a believer. When I say what kind of tree are you, I'm not asking what species of tree you are. I am not an arborist. I do not claim to know much about trees. I have a very good friend, Brother Tom Turner, that I met over 40 years ago. And when I met him in Massachusetts, he is a forester. He's one of those fellows that goes into these big lots and estimates these trees and their value to cut them down and send them for timbering and stuff like that. And when I first met him, I just enjoyed romping through the woods with him. I like that part. Just romping through the woods, but he would look and he was looking at the trees and the value of them. But I enjoyed walking through, and he could name every tree in that forest, in that woods, and tell me what species it was. And of course he wanted to put me to the test. And I said, "Well, I know maple trees because I know what the leaf looks like. I know what an oak tree is because of the acorns are going to be laying at the bottom of that tree. So that's kind of easy. I've learned from Brother Darrell how to spot sycamore trees by their bark, and I know how to spot a weeping willow. Aren't you proud of me? Everybody knows what a weeping willow looks like." But outside of that, I'm not very good on different species of trees. But I'm not asking you what species of tree you are. I'm asking you this: what kind of tree are you? By that I mean simply this: are you a healthy tree? Are you a sickly tree? Are you a diseased tree? Are you a dead tree? See, I can't tell the species. I don't know all the time. But I can pretty much tell whether it's healthy or not. I can tell whether it's suffering or not. I can tell if it's dead or not. I'm real good at that one. And so this morning I want to challenge you to examine yourself and see what kind of tree you are and to be the kind of tree that God wants you to be. That kind of rhymes there, doesn't it? Be the kind of tree God wants you to be. Dustin, we should change the sermon title right there. I'm just kidding. What kind of tree are you? Are you a healthy tree? Are you a sickly tree? Are you a dead tree? Four steps to a healthy tree. Verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know how to be a healthy tree? Plant yourself in the right place. Plant yourself in the right place. A tree that's away from nourishment, away from water, away from source, is going to be a struggling tree. A tree needs to be placed near the source of water. I think about that first tree we all know about way back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Now remember that one tree that we're so familiar with, the tree of life, was one of many trees. We don't know how many, but there were all kinds of trees there. And the reason there were so many trees is because when you read Genesis chapter 2 about the Garden of Eden, you read about these four rivers that flowed through it. And because of those four rivers, this garden called Eden was flourishing and rich, not only with plant life, but with tree life. Trees need refreshment. They need nourishment. They need water to exist. We go all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And we read about this tree of life that's growing on either side of a river and bearing fruit in all 12 seasons of the year for people to eat from it. And its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Why does that tree thrive? Why is it so productive? Because it's planted by a river. If you want to be a productive tree, a productive Christian, you need to be planted by the rivers of water. Where are those rivers? Wherever God has planted you. You know, I notice it says, he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is not a wild tree. This is not one that just sprung up. We've all seen those. When I'm working in my yard, many times I've got to get out there with those loppers and cut down these sprigs of these trees that are growing where I don't want them to grow. So I get out there. They're just wild trees growing anywhere. But when we purposely plant a tree, we dig a hole, we properly nourish it and prepare it for growth, and we put it there. And the Bible tells us that this tree is planted by the rivers of water. You and I need to be a tree that's planted. You know what planted shows us? It shows us purpose. I have a row of trees in my yard that designates the property line between me and the neighbor. That way, if we ever have a Hatfield and McCoy situation, I know which side of the tree I can stand on. No, my neighbors are fine. We don't have that problem. But someone before I was there, planted some ash trees. I know what they are because I had to have somebody come out and tell me what they were. But they planted some ash trees as a border there. And those tree lines designate. So someone took time to dig a hole, to plant that tree, to make sure it grew. And when I bought that property, I had to have somebody come out and go up and cut off the tops of them because they were way too tall and were causing a problem for other things. So someone purposely planted those trees. Do you know that you have been purposely planted? You've been purposely planted within the family of God by your faith in Jesus Christ. The day, the moment, the hour, whatever, whether you know where it is or don't know where it is, the day that you put your faith and trust in Christ, God took you and planted you. He planted you in His family, never to be removed. Now, He might have to prune. He might have to pluck some leaves sometimes. But He promised never to dig you up. Never to throw it into the brush pile. You have been purposely planted in Jesus Christ by your faith. Thank God for that. When you and I have that confidence and that assurance, we can serve God. When we have that knowledge that by God's hand, we have been put into the family of God, not by man's hand, not by the church's hand, Some folks sometimes are worried, I've gotten into the family of God by my works or my actions. Maybe my works or actions can take me out of the family of God. Well, if actions and works put you in, then actions and works could take you out. Well, by the church put me in. Well, if the church puts you in, the church can take you out. But we know those things don't put us in the family of God. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is our commitment to Him. By that, He purposely planted us. Can I tell you this morning, you have the possibility of being a fruitful tree. Whether you are or not is up to you. It's not up to God. He's planted you, and He's planted you in the right place. Now, whether or not you thrive is up to you. You have been purposely planted. Number two, you've been perfectly planted. Perfectly planted. God knew exactly where to put you. In your family, in your neighborhood, in your job responsibilities, in your church, within the body of Christ, God put you right where He wanted you. If you believe that God is in control of your life and controlling every part of your life, then you believe that as you follow Him, He is your guide. He is your leader, and as you follow Him, He is leading you in life to each and every place He wants you to be. Nothing happens by accident. It's all the providence of God. And He's planted you in the right place. He did it perfectly. Notice it says, He shall be like a tree planted by the... It doesn't just say river of water. It says rivers of water. Sometimes a stream, a brook, a river even, can dry up. Remember Elijah down by the river, and it dried up while the raven was feeding him, and God moved him off to the widow of Zarephath. Sometimes a river can dry up. Two rivers drying up, not quite as likely. Three rivers drying up, not so much. Four rivers, like the Garden of Eden, He's planted you by the rivers of water. There are going to be seasons in your life that feel like drought. There are going to be times like you don't feel you're getting nourishment. But can I assure you, He's planted you by the rivers of water. If you'll just keep thriving and keep going and keep growing, God will take care of you because He's planted you in a perfect spot. Sometimes we bemoan God's placement in our lives. Lord, why did You put me here? Why have You directed me thus? Why have You guided me to this point, to this place? Why are You allowing me to face this or face that? Can I assure you this morning, you've been perfectly planted. And God has you exactly where He wants you to be. And if you'll just rest in His promises, He has supplied the rivers of water to nourish you and to prepare you to grow. You've been perfectly planted. Not only have you been purposely planted and perfectly planted, but you've been productively planted. You know what it says here? He shall be planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season, and His leaf also shall not wither. We'll talk about both of those things in just a moment. But you'll notice He put that tree in a place where the water could provide its nourishment so it could bear fruit and have leaves. God put it in just the right place where it could produce. You know what Jesus said over in the Gospel of John? I am the vine, ye are the branches. If we abide in Him, we bring forth much fruit. Can I tell you, whether it's a season of drought or a season of plenty, whether you recognize it or not, your roots are getting that nourishment. It might look dry from the ground up, but down underneath there where the roots are, you're getting that nourishment. And during that time of dryness, during that time of where it looks like everything's not going too good, remember where your roots are. And one of these days, that fruit is going to grow back again. I'm getting ahead of myself to point number two. But one of these days, that productivity will show. One of these days, that fruit will blossom once again if you just keep on growing. Now, I have to mention that these things are related to verse number 1 and verse number 2 that talks about your associations that you should avoid and your associations that you should maintain. Verse number 1, avoiding those different people and those things. Verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the nourishment, that's the water that we're getting. And when we do that, God places us exactly where we need to be placed. I said this in the Sunday school hour, kind of getting ahead of myself. God has you here, as it says in the book of Esther, for such a time as this. Sometimes we watch some historic stories, movies or documentaries or something, say, boy, I wish I could have lived back in that day. Have you ever done that? I wish I could have lived back at this time when it was like this, or lived at that time when it was like that. Now, let's be honest. You don't want to go back to that time. They might glorify it on the television. It might look like such a special time and wonderful time, but can I just tell you this? They didn't have central air conditioning. They didn't have drive-through restaurants. All right, we might say we wish we could go back in that time, but if we were back in that time, knowing what we had here, we'd say, I want to go back. We don't want to go back in time. We don't want to go back to those things. God has put you here for such a time as this. And He's planted you right where you're at for such a time as this. And He's looking for you to produce some things that this world needs right now. God has you in mind. God has planted you by the rivers of water. I read in Psalms last night, I think, where David said, I will praise thee 7 times in a day. And I thought, well, that'd be a good practice to start, wouldn't it? Why don't we all just sign up for that? Let's sign up. Starting tomorrow, we'll praise God 7 times in a day. How quickly would we forget to do that? But when we remember that God has planted us in this place at this time for the things that we do, that will give Him praise. You might not utter it with your lips and say it with your lips, but by your life living for Him right now. All times have never been as bad as they are right now. Well, maybe, maybe not. But God has put you here right now. He's planted you by the rivers of water. Thank God for that. When you get discouraged about your circumstances and the things going on, remember, God has planted you right here, right now, for a purpose. So, 4 steps to a healthy tree. Number 1, planted by the rivers of water. Number 2, that tree bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The properly planted, well-watered tree will bring forth fruit. That's a guarantee of the Word of God. If you've been properly planted, and I'm looking at a bunch of folks that have. If you've been well watered, and that kind of depends on you, how much time you spend in the water of the Word of God. How much time you spend in fellowship with God. How much time you spend in praising God. Too many times, most of our day is taken up with the responsibilities of life. I looked this morning, my telephone gave me how many hours I spent on my phone last week. Oh, it's like just stabbing me in the back when it does that. Here's how many hours you spent on your phone. And six hours and 10 minutes or something, I forget what the thing was on GPS maps. Because I did a lot of traveling and I went to a lot of places like that. And I look at that thing. 6 hours I spent looking at a map and getting directions on where to go. And it showed me how much time on this thing or time on that thing. And I thought, how frivolous we are with our time. How wasteful we are with our time. And how much more we could be producing with our time if we realize that God wants us to bring forth some fruit. The Bible says He shall bring forth His fruit in His season. Turn, if you would, keep your place there in Psalms, but go to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37. Here's a very good principle in the Word of God about bringing forth that fruit. We say it this way, if there is no root, there will be no fruit. All right, if you plant something on a dry, barren, sandy ground, it's not going to produce anything. It's going to wither and it's going to die. But if you plant something somewhere where the roots can go down deep and absorb the moisture from the ground, it's going to produce some fruit. We were down in North Carolina last week. We were down there near the ocean, between the ocean and the bay, and the ground is just nothing but sand. A guy came out to mow the grass. And when he was done, I couldn't tell he did anything. Because there's a little patch of weed over here and a little patch of weed over there. And I thought, why don't they just come in here and bring a bunch of topsoil, skim this thing off, bring some topsoil, put some sod down in here, make this really look nice. You know why they can't? Because underneath that, even if they put the sod, underneath that's nothing but sand and rock. And you can't get a root to go down in that, and so nothing's growing like it should in that surface. Notice what it says in Isaiah 37 and verse number 31. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah, this is talking about future events, so we won't get into that, but notice the end of the verse, says, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Isaiah 37, 31. They shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. You cannot bear fruit in your life without root. And that root comes by being planted by the rivers of water and having that root flourish. You know what the root is? The root is the part you don't see. We focus on the part you do see. We clean up the body, we dress up the body, we pick up our Bible, we carry it to church, and those are all good things. Please continue to do that. But we focus on the outside, but the real productivity of our life is going to come by what we do behind the scenes. What we do that nobody else sees. Our time in the prayer closet. Our time reading the Word of God. Our time during the day in fellowship with Him, praising Him 7 times a day. That's where we establish our root. And once we dig that root down deep, we're going to bear some fruit upward. You have been planted by the rivers of water. You are now where you can bring forth fruit. Notice what it says, in His season. Did you know it's not always fruit-bearing season? There are seasons for bearing fruit. We read over in the New Testament about untimely figs. You know what those are? Those are those that were plucked and that were picked and were eaten when they weren't fully developed, weren't fully ripe, weren't fully ready. You've got to wait until the fruit is ready to be plucked and eaten before you take it, or it's going to be bitter, it's going to be sour, it's going to be unpleasant. Not all seasons are fruit-bearing seasons. And again, as we've said, there are going to be some times in your life where drought seems to have taken over. Nothing seems to be going right. Nothing seems to be going good. What do you say? Hang in there. It's not fruit-bearing season yet. God allows us to go through some of those trying times and difficult times. And while we're doing it, work on the root. Cultivate the root. Strengthen the root. And wait for the fruit to come. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it this way. I wrote it down because it was just didn't seem right to try to quote it. He said about this bearing fruit in the season, he said, the man who delights in God's Word, being taught it, bringeth forth patience in the time of suffering, faith in the day of trial, and holy joy in the hour of prosperity. You know what he's saying? You don't always need faith in the midst of a trial. You don't always need patience for suffering. You don't always have joy in prosperity. But by being planted by the rivers of water, you are in a place now where you can bring forth the fruit in its season. When it's time of suffering, you'll have the patience. When it's time for trials, you'll have the faith. When it's a time of prosperity, you'll have the joy. if your root is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would be greatly saddened to have to go through this life, the life that I live right now, the life that I live as a born-again Christian, trying my human best to live for the glory of God, and yet experiencing the ups and downs of life, the victories and the valleys, the overcoming and the defeats. I would hate to live this life without Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine how in the world does it. To go through the things that happen to us normally, and every day, the heartbreaks and the sadnesses that come our way, and to do it without God in their life. But you and I have been planted. We've been rooted. And when we need it, our lives will bear fruit in their season. Paul told young Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. There's going to be fruit-bearing season. There's going to be drought season. What do? You just keep going. You keep pushing forward. You keep doing underground, under the surface, what you know to do. Stay in church. Sometimes I hear folks, I go and I visit and they say, well, we missed your church. Well, we're going through a difficult time right now. You know the worst thing you can do when you're going through a difficult time is isolate yourself from the people that can be the biggest help and blessing to you. When you're going through a trial, get here. Be around this family. I heard it said this week, church is not a service you attend. Church is a family you belong to. And when you and I are going through difficult times, the thing we need the most is this right here. The fellowship of the saints. Opening up a songbook, standing up, singing praise to God. That'll be oil to a weary heart. That'll be a blessing. We've got to keep putting that root downward. Read your Bible every day. Read it every day. Maybe not a whole lot of it, but get into it every day. You know why? Because when you're going through the difficult times, that will establish your root, and you'll be able to handle what life throws at you. Why do you see Christians that get knocked off all the time? Why do you see them that when tough times, when prosperity's in their life, they're fine. They're smiling, they're praising God, they're shaking your hand saying, God bless you. And then when the dry season comes, they disappear. They're discouraged. They're not around. You know why? The root isn't what it ought to be. Make sure your root is right. To bring forth fruit in their season. Then notice the third thing it says in verse number 3. Not only to be a healthy tree, do you need to be planted by the rivers of water and bring forth fruit in its season, but it says thirdly, his leaf also shall not wither. The fruit is seasonal. Did you get that? He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The fruit is seasonal. Thank God for those seasons. Thank God for the fruitful seasons. But they're not all fruitful seasons. But even when the fruit is gone, the leaf does not wither. What does that leaf talk about? It talks about beauty. The beauty of a tree is found in its leaves. You know how I know that? Because I'm a tree expert. No, not because of that. I know that because when winter time comes around here in Ohio, many of the trees lose their leaves, and they look like scraggly, old, ugly trees. And you just say, why cumbereth it to the ground? Why not just cut that thing down? It's not bearing any fruit. There's not any leaves on it. Let's get rid of that thing. It's ugly when its leaves are gone. You know what you are when your leaves are gone? I'll let you fill in the blank there so I don't offend you. You know, some of us get pretty ugly sometimes. I'm not talking about our physical beauty. I'm talking about our spiritual being. Sometimes we get pretty downright nasty. Pretty ugly. Pretty sour. Pretty bitter. Pretty unpleasant. Unattractive. Because our leaf withers. Oh, we have our seasons of bearing the fruit, but we're not consistent. I guess the tree that they use for an example of this the most is the evergreen tree. That makes sense to me. So if I was going to tell you what kind of tree to be an evergreen. Why is that? Because it's evergreen. It does not lose its leaves. When winter comes, when the weather turns bad, it doesn't lose its leaves. Have you ever met the Christian, or more importantly, have you ever been the Christian whose leaves depend on the weather? When everything's going good, I'm beautiful. I'm pleasant to be around. People enjoy my fellowship. But boy, when I'm down, I'm going to make sure everybody else is down too. When I'm not feeling my best, I'm going to make sure nobody else is having a good day. That's that tree whose leaves wither. That's not a healthy tree. You say, okay, well, preacher, now that you've said that, I'll make note of that. I'll make a check mark in my book here. And I'll remember next time when it's drought season and I don't have any fruit, I'll make sure to pay attention to my leaves and make sure that I fake it when I'm not feeling my best. Can I tell you this? You can't fake it. Whatever is in your root is going to show. You don't need to fake it at that time. You need to work on your root. You need to make sure it's planted by those rivers of water. You need to make sure it's in a place where it can bring forth its fruit in its season. And you need to make sure your leaf is not going to wither. That leaf shows the beauty, the attractiveness. You and I need to have that spiritual beauty to us. That pleasantness, that attractiveness. And then notice fourthly and lastly, it says in verse number 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You remember this is talking about a tree? That's how the Bible does it. And whatsoever he doeth, now that's showing us that person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's taking the example of that tree and showing you and I need to be like that. We need to be planted by the rivers of water. We need to bring forth our fruit in its season. We need to have a leaf that does not wither. And then God promises that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know that tree that's leaf-filled all year long is a blessing to the birds. They, in the wintertime, those that have not flown south and gotten out of Dodge, and they're looking for a place to land, they're not looking for that barren, leafless tree. They're looking for those few other ones that they can get to and get protection from the weather around them. We go to those trees for shade and refreshment. We go there for rest and recovery. You get out in your yard, you work hard. You look for a place under a tree. I had to drive down yesterday toward Cincinnati to meet Erin coming back up. Some folks were bringing her up from Camp Victory, and I had to meet them down there. And they told me what exit to get off of and what gas station to meet them at. And I went there, and I got there about 45 minutes before they got there. And I went to that gas station, and it was out in the middle. There was nothing but 82-degree sunshine everywhere. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Not when you're sitting in a car. So I noticed that right behind that Marathon station was some kind of business, some big factory. And it was Saturday, so there's very little cars. And one of those parking spots was right under a big tree. Don't ask me what kind it was. But it was right under a big tree. And so 40 minutes, I parked under that tree, rolled the windows down, put my head back, got a short cat nap. It was enjoyable and refreshing with the breeze coming through in the shade of that tree. You know what the Bible says? When your root is planted in the right place, you'll have fruit in your season. Your leaf will not wither. And whatsoever thou doest shall prosper. That productive, well-placed, well-watered tree is a blessing to others. It will give refreshment. It will give a place of refuge. It will give fellowship to those that are around it. That's what that tree does. I'm thankful that God allows us to be that kind of a tree. Look at one more verse in Psalms, if you would. Psalm 104. And this is really the verse I read this past week that got my whole mind going. This whole message really from Psalm 1 was a result of this verse in Psalm 104. Because when I saw this verse, it just spoke to my heart. You and I have been planted by God. We are trees in a place on purpose to bear fruit, to have a leaf that does not wither, and to prosper for the benefit of others. Not self-prosperity, not the prosperity gospel of our day, but that we might be a blessing to others. You know, the first three verses of that first psalm all talk about the believer. The last three verses of that psalm talk about the unbeliever. It calls them the godly and the ungodly, but the ungodly are not so. See, they're not like this tree. They're not planted by the rivers of water. They don't bear fruit in their season. Their leaf does wither. And everything they do does not prosper. David said one place, I grieve because of the prosperity of the wicked till I saw their end. But for you and I that are that tree, we prosper. And our prosperity blesses others. Psalm 104, verse 16. The trees of the Lord. I like this. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. That's the only time in your Bible that word appears. The word sap. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. You can go through a certain part of town just north of here, and you're going down one of these dirt roads, and every tree has this little tap on the side of it with this bucket that's catching the syrup that's coming out. Those trees are full of sap. There's no way to not make that a good thing. That's a good thing. People want that. People will pay money for that. They desire that. And the Bible says that if you're that tree that's planted by the rivers of the water, that bring forth its fruit, that its leaf does not wither, whatsoever thou doest, you will be a blessing to others because you are full of that sap that others can enjoy and get a blessing from and nourishment. God has planted you here in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your church. God has placed you here in this world at this time so that you can be planted by the rivers of water, so you can bear fruit, so your leaf can flourish. Somebody said, reading one of the commentators, they said, well, this tree planted out there in the Mediterranean is the oleander tree. And so being the expert I am on trees, I had to look up in Wikipedia what an oleander tree was, and they said it's a tree that grows from 7 to 20 feet tall. It's also a bush that's planted here in the United States. But it said when it's, head picture, when it's young, it's got a light green full leaf, and when it's mature, it's got this very dark green leaf. Now, I don't know if the Lord is thinking about the oleander tree or not. I have no idea. But I know this, whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. What kind of tree are you? I hope you're not a dead tree. God doesn't plant dead trees. God plants them by the rivers of water. I hope you're not a dying tree. If you are, can I tell you, work on your root. Get your roots down where they belong. Get in church. Get in the Word of God. Get in a prayer life. Get around the fellowship of God's people. That will brighten your day, encourage your heart, and get you in a right relationship with God. And then watch, as whatsoever thou doest shall prosper. That doesn't mean you're going to log into your bank account and all of a sudden it doubled. Doesn't mean the stock market's going to rise for you overnight. But it means your life will be a blessing to others and a blessing to God. He shall be like a tree. Are you like that tree this morning? Let's stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed.